If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Well, top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 8:39. It is a Wednesday morning. Commissioner Steve Rule from Canyon County joins us this morning. I tell you what, Mr. Rule is loaded for bear. He has plans.
So he can't stay? No, I'm kidding. He's got. You wrote us a bunch of rolled up plans. Tell us about those.
Well, I just wanted to have a little backup here today when we were one of the talking points is this $250,000 study to see if we needed a new jail, forensic study in Tom Dale's words. I was adamantly against it.
I'm hoping they found more than just yes or no.
They didn't find – they found just what George Nurse did 14 years ago, Chris Smith did 11 years ago, that we need several hundred new beds based on population. There are formulas based on population on how many beds you should have, commonly used throughout the United States. We needed 700 plus beds back then, recommended that we do 900.
Yeah.
So they ran DLR, the group that did this study, put together a set of plans and geology was done and it was all ready to go. And but that failed by several percent. I think they got 60, 61% of the vote at that election. Ran another formula, several million less a few years later. It failed by several percent. Third time they ran a bond, it didn't even make 50%.
It's getting further away every time.
By 58%. So I'm a commissioner for 11 years now. I'm saying, what is the taxpayer telling me? Don't bond for a new jail. So we scrapped and learned how to save money, and we had about $15 million set aside to put up at least 200 beds that we wouldn't have to bond for. Well, Tom Dale and Pam White came in and blew that plan right out of the water. So, you know, this is just – it's just the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this isn't quite the same because instead of bonding for $50 or $60 million, they want to bond for $200 million.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that probably won't pass.
That's not going to pass. I won't even pretend. You know, I'm a county official. I know we need jail space. I won't even pretend that that will pass. The citizens will turn it down, again, at least by 50%, if not a lot more.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a mess over there. This jail situation is a real problem. There's not a bad guy. The bad guys are the criminals committing the crimes.
True.
The judges are doing the best they can. They've developed special programs to try and get some of them in ankle bracelets at home so they can drink beer and watch Oprah and serve out their time that way.
She retired. You know.
Well, I guess it's Dr. Phil now, wouldn't it be? So
yeah, Judge Judy, whatever. There's a lot of stuff.
Judge Judy, one of those guys. But it's just a mess. You know, we were up about 30,000 since 85 in Canyon County. Thus, doesn't surprise me that instead of 700 beds, we need 773 beds. Well, that makes perfect sense. But you just don't need to waste $250,000 a pop to study the obvious is what I'm here to tell you.
More beds.
We've got plans done. We don't need to spend $1 million on new plans. There's three sets in the county that could be taken and modified by engineers and experts. And the question is, do we need new beds? No. The question is, how do we get the public or the funding to build any new beds?
Right.
200 or 1,100. Doesn't matter. That's the question.
Okay.
Now, you're doing a lot of temporary stuff. The temporary tent facility, which not a full-time place, obviously. 600 people out on pretrial release. The numbers from the DLR show nearly half of those should be in jail rather than out on pretrial release.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with the courts.
Man.
It's a mess.
Well, what's recommended now? It says it would be about 300,000 square feet.
That's massive.
Yeah, that's like five football fields.
Jail space costs $200 to $250 a square foot.
Yeah.
So when I look at that number and then look at a $200 million price tag, the math isn't quite right either. I will tell you they're building 1,100 capacity jails from the bottom up out in the United States for around $130 million. But that's not going to pass.
I was going to say, well, that is cheaper than 200.
Yeah, that's right.
It's,
yeah.
It's
so, I don't hold a lot of. I can go on Google and find that out. So I don't hold this study in high esteem.
What's going to happen here?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. The public's going to continue to turn down jail bonds until a judge comes in and does what's called a judicial mandate, and that's where he says, "Okay, taxpayers." You guys can't solve this problem. Politicians, bureaucrats, you guys can't fix this. We've got a problem. I'm issuing a mandate that you pay this amount of property taxes to build this jail.
And it's going to happen.
It's like they do in Washington, D.C.
And that's what's going to happen, whether it's this year or 15 years from now. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a judge in Canyon County right now that wants to do that. I highly doubt it.
Right.
But I think that's the only way this is going to happen. Or three commissioners will get in there that line up and say, yeah, they're not going to pass $200 million. They're not going to pass $100 million bonds. Let's see if we can do like Commissioner Hansen and I did. We 2 years ago, we started a line item. We had $6.5 million built up in it to put toward building some jail space, mm-hmm. not solving the problem, guys. That wasn't going to happen. But the public's not going to help us solve the problem, and I represent their tax vote.
Yeah.
So
at least you were trying to figure out an efficient way to lessen the
problem.
Right. Yeah.
They tore that out of the budget this year and decided that was a bad idea. So, you know, it's just a mess. Nobody can get the parties together and agree on anything. That I sure can't agree on any of this. It doesn't represent the taxpayers that put me in office.
We're talking with Ada County Commissioner Steve Rule.
Canyon County.
Why did I say it? Talking with Canyon County Commissioner Steve Rule.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. Paul Jay and Chris, along with Canyon County Commissioner Steve Rule. All right, now you find yourself, as my mom used to say, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Is it going to take a mandate?
I don't think bonds are going to pass for $50, $60 million or more, based on history. That's not.
And it's got to be that, right?
Like I said, a jail bed costs about, or per square foot, $200 to $250 a square foot easy to build jail space. You know, we've looked at this inside and out. I don't like transporting prisoners 4 or 5 miles back and forth to the courthouse.
Yeah.
I believe on an on-campus addition. I think if I were a general contractor and you just gave me $40 million, I think we could get probably 400 beds put up there right next to the existing jail. We'd take out elections and put up a facility right there. But I'm not. There's a whole bunch of players in this, and they're going to have to come to an agreement what's best. The public is not going to bond for 50, 80, 100, 200 million. It's not going to happen. So I don't think that'll ever happen. And I probably, my best guess is there's going to be a mandate, if not in the next 2 years, 10 years, that builds a jail.
Okay, mandate's probably not a great situation to be in.
I don't think
As you said, you probably won't be able to pass a bond issue for that large of an amount. What would be the best case scenario that isn't one of those two things from this point?
I believe the best case scenario would be for the county to, again, the county's not poor. Building is off the charts again. Mm-hmm. All this is increased value and increased buildings, businesses. That creates revenue for each city and each county. Back in 2008, we cut the budget 24% and took care of all the business that had to be taken care of at Canyon County. We got it done. I know it can be done. It could be done right today. But to have leaders that have the backbone and the spit to go in there and cut budgets, save that enough money to get $40 or $50 million together, they're going to have to be some pretty special people, and I don't think they're in office right now.
And you don't recall in 2008 creating huge hardships.
Yes, there were hardships. We laid off a number of people. Mm-hmm. We eliminated jobs. It was nasty and hard. But, you know, if you're going to save up $40 million in the next 2, 3, 4 years, it'd have to be something like that. Yeah. I don't think that's likely. So what's going to happen? We had a good plan in place trying to build up enough money to build some jail space or say to the public, hey, we've got $20 million saved. How about bonding $20 million to us? And we'll take that 40 and build jail space. You know, I saw that as the parachute for that line item, construction line item that they tore out of our budget this year.
Kind of working together.
Yeah. I liked that concept as well, but now that was ripped out by Dale and White and Clerk Yamamoto. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
You obviously, I mean, you guys have talked this over many, many times. What do they think is going to happen? Do they think that eventually the public will just say, okay, let's keep voting for a much larger number?
For those of us that watched Chairman Dale on television the other night, he said, once a government need is identified, the public needs to be taxed to take care of those government needs. I'm just not that in that wheelhouse. So I Pam's quiet. She seems to vote with Tom. Hmm. I am not quiet. I've been against the study. I've been against the budgets that went through for the past 2 years. I'm just not. I found myself to be a very conservative Republican candidate in Canyon County, and some of the other
Which
leaders
doesn't
in there
seem that odd for Canyon County.
You know, you wouldn't think, no. But boy, am I the lone ranger? Yeah, we were teasing what were we wearing for Halloween. I said, well, I'll get my duck costume, yeah, put on a cast and an eye patch and my arm in a sling and come as a one-eyed lame duck. And that's the way I feel in Canyon County right now.
Or the Lone Ranger could also be.
Yeah, Lone Ranger. So he had silver bullets. You know, I don't got any of that.
That might be the best thing.
Yeah, it's the best thing.
Eventually, I guess, okay, you said obviously you need more beds.
Yes.
You need more space. You need more jail space. However, the public isn't going to vote for this enormous amount. So the chances of you getting it are pretty nil. So eventually you think a judge simply will have to say, okay, here's the amount of money we have to allocate to do something. Is there a possibility a judge could say, just, you know, add on to the current property?
Yes, absolutely. A judge could mandate that you put 400, 600 beds right onto the existing facility. Or we've got property around the campus that could be done on. So that could be done. I don't know what a judge will do.
Commissioner Steve Rule, I do wish you the best luck.
Hey, thank you.
And Canyon County as well.
All right.
I hope we can get this solved.
All right. And congratulations to all those who retained their offices last night and the newly electeds. Good luck to all of them.
We'll be back. It's Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOY News Time 9:06.
I'd like to thank Steve Rule for stopping by this morning. He was a little fired up.
Yeah, fired up about the Canyon County jail and the plans and all the other sort of things that are going on.
You're in a minority.
Yeah.
Minority
opinion.
Commission.
Yeah, exactly.
Minority opinion. And minority numbers in a voting commission, it's not a good position to be in. On one hand, you do what you believe in, mm-hmm. and you act as a guidance, if you will, for the other commissioners, but you can't get anything done, and it's tough. Tough position.
Yeah. Quite often, people on this program bring up the possibility of the stadium, the combination baseball soccer stadium, for which there are plans to build over on Americana, basically where the old, for those of you who've been here a long time, where the old Kmart used to be. For those of you who haven't, it's over on Americana. Possible open meeting law violations we have found out in the last couple of days.
This is by
a Boise agency.
Fairly serious.
Are in the news, and Gary Michael is the guy who's been talking about this. Pretty well known, as BoiseDev.com reported yesterday that a citizens group that opposes construction of a publicly funded downtown sports stadium has filed a complaint with the Ada County prosecutor, and the Statesman also is reporting today that the complaint has been referred to the Ada County Sheriff for investigation, and it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Rice, the executive director of the Greater Boise Auditorium District, told both of the news outlets that he believed the district complied with the open meeting law, which, if you listen to the story, they kind of did. But the complaint focuses on a series of emails in which Rice arranged for stadium developer Chris Schoen, it's S-C-H-O-E-N, yeah, to meet in turn with two Greater Boise Auditorium District, or GBAD, board members at a time in 2014, just two at a time. So there would be one person and then two board members in order to avoid having the developer meet with a quorum of the board. Now, what this does is you don't have to have an open meeting if it's only two of the board members.
Now, being a member of the Racing Commission, I'm very familiar with this open meeting thing, which makes it extremely hard to get anything done. Say we're the Racing Commission, the three of us. I could not call either one of you on the phone.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Not legally.
Not legally.
Okay. Now,
because it would be a quorum.
Rice wrote to Schoen in September of 2014 in a message that was copied to the City Redevelopment Agency, mm-hmm. known as the Capital City Development Corporation. Since I have five board members and a quorum requires a public meeting, I'd recommend an hour each in groups of two plus one. So, I mean, if that is a violation, then that's a fairly clear violation.
Mm-hmm.
It was also copied to the Boise mayor's office and others. In a follow-up message, Rice reiterated, I can't have more than two at a time, otherwise it is a quorum.
Right.
Now, as the president of the Idaho Press Club and Idahoans for Openness in Government, Betsy Russell, who writes for the Spokane paper, was quoted in both of those articles, in part because the Idahoans for Openness in Government leads an open government seminar with the Idaho Attorney General, Lawrence Wasdin, and has done so since 2004 around the state, aimed at educating Idahoans, such as yourself, mm-hmm. about compliance with the Idaho Open Meeting Law and the Idaho Public Records Law.
Exactly.
The emails immediately suggested to Betsy Russell, anyway, that the Greater Boise Auditorium District was trying to hold what is sometimes called a serial meeting, a meeting when someone meets with small numbers of board members in turn rather than a full quorum, in an attempt to avoid triggering the requirement under the law for an open public meeting. That, as she says, they've detailed again and again at those seminars, would violate the open meetings law.
Right.
If you try to avoid open meetings simply by skirting the issue, that's just as bad as if you just flat out have a meeting and don't open it.
Yeah, but it's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
But then when you have emails that straight out say, hey, we have to do it this way so we don't have an open meeting.
Yeah, it's kind of invalid.
That kind of looks bad. The point of the law is to ensure that the public's business is done openly and that the public can observe it. And apparently the point of these meetings was not to be observed. Betsy Russell says that she told Statesman reporter Sven Berg, there's a reason that we have an open meetings law and our government agencies shouldn't be going to elaborate means to avoid it. They should just comply with it. Gosh, that almost sounds like a new idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, hey,
wait a minute. We could do that?
Instead of trying to, go through loopholes, why don't we just do what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Rice told the Statesman that he believed he was avoiding violating the law by scheduling the sub-quorum meetings and said it was purely meet and greet. There was no district business discussed. But board members told the newspaper they recalled discussing stadium projects Schoen had worked on elsewhere and his interest in building a stadium for the minor league Boise Hawks baseball team. Mm. Now, when Dave Beter was in here, he talked to us about how he knew about, what was it? Was it Fort Wayne, Indiana, or someplace like that? There were stations. I think it was Fort Wayne, mm-hmm. where they had this very similar or same kind of station or of stadium. And he even told us about how they have more than 300 events there a year,
sure.
and it's used for all sorts of things. In fact, their equivalent of what we would call what's Wednesday's right after hours, Alive After Five.
Alive After Five. Yeah.
I couldn't think of the name of it. Sorry. What we would call Live After Five here, they have the same thing there, but they actually have it inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
These things have been discussed. Now, under the Idaho Open Meeting Law, the key is whether a quorum of the governing body, whether all together at once by serial contact or even through a series of emails, deliberates on the public's business, and that's when the Open Meeting Law applies. So if you are actually doing the business you are supposed to be doing in the job that you have, then yes, you are supposed to have an open meeting.
Right.
And so that seems fairly cut and dry. We'd like to hear from you this morning, 336-3700, 208-336-3700. It's 914. We will take a break. We'll be right back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
It's an example that's often used in seminars. Again, this is Betsy Russell. If all three members of a county commission go to lunch together and talk about their grandkids, they're a quorum, but they're not in a meeting.
Uh-huh.
So it's not an open meeting. But if they talk about county business, bingo, now it's a meeting.
Yeah.
And they're violating the open meeting law unless they've provided notice and invited the public. If members of a board send a series of emails and responses among themselves on a topic on which they'll decide and a quorum of the board is involved, that too could be a serial meeting and violate the open meeting mm-hmm. law.
Our rewards code, by the way, today, meeting,
yes.
On that note, M-E-E-T-I-N-G, our KBOI rewards code. If you are keeping track of this sort of thing, go to KBOI.com and enter the rewards code meeting. If you haven't been keeping track of it, you might want to start because you get rewards, which is why we call it a rewards code.
Guy that we both worked with, Bill Eilert, one of the citizens group leaders, former managing partner of the Idaho Stampede,
mm-hmm.
told Boise DEV, the documents show that City Hall and GBAD have been very devious in the way they pushed the project forward, working with the out-of-town developers for 2+ years without ever having public disclosure. Gary Michael, former longtime Albertson CEO,
mm-hmm.
and the group's other leader, told Boise Dev his group had filed public records requests for thousands of documents from the city of Boise. Thousands.
Yeah.
GBAD and the Capital City Redevelopment Corp in there as well. As we searched through the documents provided in response to our public records request, it became clear to us the Idaho open meeting law was simply ignored. We want it investigated, and if the law was violated, we want it brought to light.
You know, and the funny thing about that is there are people who absolutely agree with everything that Bill Eilert and Gary Michael are saying, mm-hmm. but they're not even necessarily against a downtown stadium. They just want everybody to have a say and not to just have something pushed like the sort of mandate that Steve Ruhle was talking about when he was in here talking about Canyon County.
Exactly. So there you have it.
There isn't anybody that wants any kind of a fascist government that just does things and then tells you about it later or presents you with the bill later.
We are going to, at some point, find out what the private investigators find out.
Yeah.
How much of the open meeting law was simply ignored, it sounds like.
Yeah.
How many times quorums met and talked about things.
Now you're
going to find all this out.
You mentioned this before we went to a break. I mean, you were on the Racing Commission, the Idaho Racing Commission.
Right.
And you have got so many rules that you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like if you think of something and you need to tell another commissioner or the other commissioners.
Right.
You have certain rules. You can't just apparently call somebody on the phone.
No.
You have to set up certain things.
I have to call a member of my staff,
mm-hmm.
and she will call another commissioner, and then or the other two commissioners.
Right.
And then the other two commissioners will call her back, and then I will call her back. And it's a long, slow, moving, involved way to do things, but you simply cannot call and say, this is the third time this guy's done this. We need to do something.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
And so clearly, I mean, according to the description that we have here, now we haven't heard necessarily from Pat Rice, but according to what, you know, the description here is of what Pat Rice did, the executive director of the Greater Boise Auditorium District, this is not kosher. This is not what you're supposed to do.
No.
And these seminars that Betsy Russell talked about tell you that straight out. You can't do it that way. You have to do what you said was a real pain in the neck, you know, and go through the channels.
It makes you mad when you do go through the channels,
because
mm-hmm. we work so closely with the, Attorney General's office that we have to do everything on the up and up.
Yeah.
And so we follow all the rules,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not doing a holier-than-thou thing here. But when you do that, it's a pain in the butt.
No.
And when you find out other people aren't doing it, it ticks you off.
No, immediately I knew you weren't doing a holier-than-thou because the way you said it was, because we work so closely with the Attorney General's office, we have to be on the up and up.
No question.
So it's like, okay, even if we wanted to, we couldn't do something
say
devious.
We'd love to, but we can't.
KBOI News time is 9:26. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news and then more of Idaho Talks Live.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News time, 9:37. Unidentified phone ringing.
Yesterday's election in Boise, and
interesting fact pointed out by the Boise Guardian.
Yeah, Dave Frazier writing in the Boise Guardian mm-hmm. website, BoiseGuardian.com. And Ted, by the way, called and had something to say about this as well, which was interesting because we were just about to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That Tuesday's Boise election saw only one. Well, I'll tell you what Dave says. He says one real winner, and that was Holly Woodings. Because Holly Woodings in seat 6 got 52% of the vote, the only candidate to have a majority in a crowded council race that had 13 total candidates going for 3 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The incumbent, T.J. Thompson, for seat 4 had 47% of the vote, and that was a 4-way race. Lisa Sanchez got 44% in a five-way race for seat two, and so was declared the winner. Now, while some might call their respective victories landslides, neither Sanchez nor Thompson got a majority of the votes of support from voters. And with about 20% turning out, neither one actually got even 10% of the registered voters. So that's, I mean, that's the big picture, according to Dave Frazier. Now, with all of the 88 precincts reporting, the turnout was about, as we said, 20% of registered voters. Now, after a similar series of crowded races about 15 years ago, city councilors passed an ordinance requiring a runoff election between the top two vote getters if a majority of votes cast were not obtained by one candidate. Former councilor Dave Eberle won a race against Paula Forney in the only runoff election, and Eberle promptly introduced an ordinance to repeal the majority rule. That ordinance was passed, bringing us back to minority rule, with now 8% of registered voters being considered a landslide.
Well,
do you have a problem with that or not?
I don't know. I wouldn't consider it a landslide.
According to law,
it's a win.
Yeah, it's a win. I mean, if there are five people in a race, the person who got, you know, and like in this last, in fact, in several of the presidential elections, the one who won didn't get 50% of the votes. And in our last presidential election, neither Trump nor Clinton got 50% of the votes. They were both under 50%.
Right.
However, all you have to do in the presidential election is get the correct number of electoral votes, mm-hmm. which Trump did. I don't know. Do you think that should be a rule about the runoff election, or should simply on election day, the person who gets the most votes is declared the winner?
Well, the thing I remember about that is nothing changed, and not even percentage wise. I mean, the top two number of votes were the same in the runoff almost as they were in the election.
Is that why Eberle proposed and got that to go through, simply because it didn't make that much of a difference?
I'm not sure what his motivation was, but I think it was just
to clean
it up.
Well, it could be to clean it up, yeah, mm-hmm. because if you don't have to have a runoff election, that's cheaper in the long run.
Yep.
However, again, this is what happens, too. When 20% of the people who are registered to vote show up to vote, you basically have rule by the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like a minority race or anything like that. You just have basically it's what he said. I mean, in two of the districts, for two of the council seats, not two of the districts, but for two of the council seats, 8% of the people elected the person,
mm-hmm.
between 8 and 9%. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, it is. And interesting observation, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and there are those, and this is the reason the rule was the way it used to be, is that there are people who say, you know, hey, at least 50% of the people ought to agree on something before it happens at all. Now, I mentioned we were talking about the stadium going in downtown Boise and the fact that maybe they haven't followed all the rules necessarily, mm-hmm. Having open meetings and whatnot. And I said something about how nobody really wants, you know, any kind of a fascist government where they just decide what to do. And April of Boise wrote, "I know, right? Vote for it so we can see what's in it." So, you know, that applies on the national level as well. And going back to what we were talking about with Steve Rule about the Canyon County bond, Patrick of Caldwell, who obviously lives in Canyon County, said, "Tell the commission I would vote for a $40 million bond, but $250 million is absolutely ridiculous." And as he said himself, it's absolutely ridiculous because
it is.
You can't give people a $50 million bond and they vote no, and then you give them a larger one and they vote no, and then take it all the way up to $200 million. They're going to keep voting no.
Yep, it appears that way. All right, let's go to the phones. Steve of Boise. Steve.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, I've been talking about the lack of interest in city elections for I don't know how long. Minority. Frazier nailed it. You know, I don't know if it's apathy or ignorance. I'm not sure which.
That's one of my favorite jokes, by the way.
Yeah. You know, if people aren't going to get involved in city elections, why do we even bother to have a city government?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Really kind of funny because we get more complaints, perhaps, about city government, county government, local government, than any other entity, but...
We get fewer people to turn out and do anything about it.
Exactly.
They seem so passionate. Closer to the people.
Yeah, they seem so passionate, and then they don't bother to go vote.
You know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the way elections were engineered to begin with is you're supposed to have the bigger turnouts for the local ones. You know, those are supposed to be the most important ones, which is why we ended up having electoral votes elect a president anyway.
Well, and you know, Boise is a great place to grow up and to live. It always has been, but over the last few years, I've seen just an exodus. People are so frustrated with the politics of our local government that they'd just as soon go to CUNA or Caldwell or Ontario and live there rather than live under the rule of somebody who controls them that they don't elect, but then they don't show up to elect them.
So you're saying it's not just a traffic thing.
No.
Okay.
No.
Or a money thing.
Yeah.
No. It's a leadership thing.
And, it's traffic and money, though.
Well, they spend a lot of money and they create a lot of traffic to eliminate living in the city they love.
So it all kind of pulls it together. Yeah.
But you know, it costs money to live in Boise. But you know what? It costs money to live anywhere.
True stuff.
And. I don't know. I'm with Steve Brule. I'm just frustrated that, you know, it seems like the minority is running the show, and the majority is all mad.
You should have seen Steve today. He was incredible. He had more stuff that he was carrying in here. He was ready to, all right, back up. I want to show you this spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible.
And, you know, and they just keep hammering. I can remember the Northwest Sewer District and my dad complaining about that. You know, they just kept running it and running it and running it. They'd turn it down, they'd turn it down, and they'd just keep running it. And eventually, you know, the people just, all right, then we'll do it.
Well, if you heard Steve Rule, what he said, like about the Canyon County Jail, the fact is they do have to do something one of these days about the Canyon County Jail.
And it's going to be
So it's going to turn out to be a judge that says, you know, I don't care what you people keep voting for. We have to spend a certain amount of money. We have to build a new jail or an extension to the jail or whatever. And here's my ruling. And that'll be that.
Yeah,
kind of doesn't seem like, you know, that's the way democracy is supposed to work. But there we go.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were all law-abiding citizens and we didn't have to deal with all these issues?
Well, that would be ideal, yes.
Would be. All right, thanks, Steve. KBOI News Time, 9:46.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
We have something to give away right now.
Let's get it out of here.
We have a family four-pack of tickets for Boise State basketball this Sunday afternoon, 2. They are going to be playing Southern Utah at Taco Bell Arena, and we have a family four-pack of tickets to give to you right now. You need to be the sixth caller number 6 right now at 208-336-3711. That's 208-336-3711. Caller number 6 will get that family four-pack of tickets, and you'll be watching some basketball this Sunday afternoon. That number again, 208-336-3711.
All right.
So, in the meantime, as they say.
All right, let's go to the phones and Randy. Randy, good morning.
Good morning. You're talking about low turnout. When you have lots of little elections instead of a few big ones, you effectively limit the turnout.
True.
In Southern California, where I came from, that was a tool used for the school systems because the only people that turn out these little ones are the passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
In Southern California, they were the ones that supported the schools.
Mm-hmm.
The people that weren't so supportive didn't bother.
So,
and it seems to me the same thing's here. By having a lot, instead of putting them, you know, 2 a year or every other year where everybody comes for a lot of things, they isolate them so they can just get the passionate.
There have been people who have suggested that in the past, that instead of having elections at different times during the year.
Didn't they change it? Now there's only two dates.
Yeah, I think now they've got it down to where there are two a year. There's like one in May and one in November. But, you know, I like the way you said it. I mean, every other year in November, just, you know, put it on even years, mm-hmm. and no matter what has to be passed, do it then. Just figure it out.
I think it would change what you see, and I think what you see is by intent. It's not an accident.
Okay.
Why else would you split them all up?
It's a possibility, especially when you have to pass something that costs money.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Thank you.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Paul of Meridian. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I agree with the previous caller, but there's 22 countries that make it mandatory to vote, and if you don't, there's fines involved. One of the interesting ones is, I think it was Greece. If you don't vote, and the way they enforce it is, you go to get a license, like a driver's license, and you can't get it, and you're fined. I think that gets your attention if you get fined for not voting.
Now, is that something we should do in America? I mean, there are people who are against anything that's mandatory, obviously. And I don't know, voting kind of people have always left that to, if you feel strongly about something, vote. If you feel like you want other people to be in charge, you have the freedom to do whatever.
I think the right to vote is something that's so important in a democratic society. You don't have to register. If you don't want to vote, don't register.
Okay.
Then I think that way, that's one way to enforce it. But I think anyone who avoids the idea of voting is not really supporting a democracy.
Okay. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Good stuff. Good to hear from you.
Bill of Boise says maybe the problem is voting does nothing. So until people realize that, no change will ever happen. I've never believed that voting does nothing. But to a certain extent, what he means, I think, is that no matter who you vote in, they have a whole lot of promises and end up doing the same things. But that's kind of general.
Yeah.
Instant message. From Billy of Boise. This is funny because we talked earlier about a guy who was being sued because he had trained his minor bird to interrupt and start saying terrible things to his neighbor every time his neighbor was in the yard talking. Billy of Boise says, where can I buy some of those birds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably can.
And we're just about out of time here, but earlier we mentioned handicap signs and how, you know, somebody had put a bunch of notes all over somebody's car because they saw him walk, park in a handicapped spot and walk away. And Dave of Boise kind of said, I saw a lady with a handicap sign hanging from her rearview mirror and she was smoking. He thinks that if you have handicap privileges that you shouldn't be able to smoke, but I'm not sure. Again, you know, it's America. You kind of get to do what you want to do in this.
Yeah, right here.
Exactly. It's 9:55. We will see you tomorrow.